Welcome to Integrating Psychedelics. I'm your host, Jenny Wiener. In today's episode, I'm sharing a really lovely conversation with Allison Sung. Allison is a sound therapist and DJ and musician, and I discovered her through the playlists that she creates and generously shares on Spotify, which are geared towards use in psychedelic journeys, particularly I Am Ketamine. And they've become really my preferred playlists when facilitating ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. So I asked Allison to come on and discuss the power of sound and the role that sound plays in healing. And I thought it was a really great conversation. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll catch you on the other side. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Jenny.
So glad to have you here. I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So to start, I'd love to just talk about how you came to do the work you're doing, both with sound and with psychedelics, and yeah, just what's the origin story?
Yeah, so it starts a long time ago when I was a young child. I have always been very musically inclined person. I played the piano from a young child age, about the age of 5, until I was 18. And then at 18, I traded in my piano for a set of DJ turntables. My mother was not very happy about it, but I wanted to move in a different direction. I started going to getting into the rave scene and the club scene when I was about 16 years old or so. And my mother thought I just liked electronic music and it was a phase and I would get out of it. But I never grew out of that phase. So many years later, I still love electronic music. I've been DJing since the day when I traded my piano in for the turntables. So it's been almost 20-year journey of DJing, and I always resonated with music just on a deeper level than maybe the average person, I guess. So I've always just had this connection my whole life. In 2015, my youngest brother passed away. He died via suicide. Mm-hmm. And he had struggled with treatment-resistant depression. I now know the language for it, but then we didn't really understand. But he had struggled with depression for pretty much his entire adult life. And we had tried everything. You probably hear that often in your work. I've tried everything. And he was never able to get any relief from that. And it eventually kind of culminated in him taking his life. And that was a very traumatic experience for me and my family. It pretty much rocked us from the very core. And after that, I started hearing about ketamine and ketamine treatments, and it really piqued my interest because to me, it felt like I had found something that I wish I had known about for my brother. You know, it was 2015. I live in Northwest Arkansas. We're not exactly the most progressive, you know, part of the country. So we didn't know about ketamine really back then. I had never heard of it in 2015. But a few years later, I start hearing about it. And I hear about all these pretty miraculous, transformations in people. I had some friends who had some pretty amazing transformations with the medicine. And then my really good friend became a ketamine therapist, and it just resonated with me because, again, it felt like I wish I'd had this to help. Maybe it could have helped my brother. So, and then fast forward a couple of years later, my friend was able to facilitate a session for me. So I had a direct experience with the medicine itself and found it incredibly I can't even find words for it. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life, and it deeply changed me, and it really, really kind of connected me to this medicine. And so then it kind of just evolved from there of, well, I know my specialty is music and DJing, and I love creating playlists. I started getting into sound therapy. So I studied sound healing, and now I facilitate sound baths and just for general work, as well as in combination with ketamine therapy as well. I create playlists now for ketamine therapy because my experience of the medicine, especially the music in the medicine, was so powerful. I'd never heard music sound like it did on ketamine. So I just became obsessed with crafting these musical journeys that would support that medicine, because so many more people need to have access to this medicine. It can truly change people's lives, I believe. And I really feel like I kind of owe it to my brother to help this work. So that's where I found that I fit in with helping in the ketamine world. I'm not a therapist, but my specialty is music, and I've been a DJ for 20 years. So I kind of took the lens of how can I help in this world? And for me, that's helping to facilitate on the music side of things.
Wow. I had no idea that was part of your story before we jumped on today. Thank you for sharing that. I'm really curious how, like in your, maybe even that first experience or in subsequent experiences, how you perceive music as being a part of the journey. You know, I have sort of my idea of it, but yeah, how do you see that as part of the experience?
Yeah. So, and just to back up a little bit, I've worked with other psychedelics personally for many years. But with ketamine, it was really quite different. I mean, there's obviously a deep connection between psychedelics and music, and it's such a connected experience. But with ketamine in particular, I found the music to be very, very much of the guide for the experience, if that makes sense. You know, there's not, you have a sitter or you have a therapist with you, but they're not necessarily guiding the experience. The music was actually guiding the experience, and it felt like it moved the experience. So when the music, and I'll say the first experience I had of the medicine was an IM experience. So just to keep that in mind, that's a lot deeper. Mm-hmm. It really was the cohesion that kind of brought me through that experience from start to finish and gave it some movement. And even when a point where I was so deep in the medicine where I wasn't, kind of lost a little bit of that sense of self, I could still hear the music. And so that it kind of felt like a tether really to reality, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely the moving piece of the experience. So when the music would change or the song would change, it would move the experience into a different layer for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I have had that same experience with ketamine specifically, where it really just the whole energy of the journey just completely is contingent on the music. And I think in a way that with other medicines where there's more like thinking and content, mm-hmm. the music is still important and like shapes the emotion and the energy behind it. But with ketamine, it feels like it's everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To me, it almost, I visualize it like a boat, like the music is the boat and you're mm-hmm. kind of, it's, you're traveling with it. That's the only visual visual analogy I can come up with.
Yeah. How did you start to learn how to put together playlists and sort of track the trajectory of the medicine and everything?
Yeah, it was a bit of personal experience of just working with the medicine personally and just listening to different playlists. I would specifically pick pre-existing playlists from different people, even from some of the more common profiles for that you find on Spotify from some of the clinics and whatnot. And it was just experience. And I would come out of the experience and note what I felt, how the music related to that experience. And then I worked with my therapist friend who knew a little bit more about the science of a journey and kind of say, okay, and, you know, within the first, especially on an IM dose, within the first 5 to 8 minutes is when it kind of starts building, and then you get really deep into it in this. So they helped me kind of fill in the what's happening to the medicine as it metabolizes through the body and what's that arc. And so tying both the personal experience with the science of just how the medicine metabolizes in the body, that kind of helped me come up with a methodology for building playlists, at least.
And your playlists, which I told you before, I love and I use really regularly, are mostly thematic. I would just love to know more of your process of picking a theme or choosing, or like, do you start to build the playlist and then find it has a theme? How does that go?
Yeah. So I feel like I'm a little unique in that regard. Instead of just calling it like generic ketamine playlist one, playlist two, whatever, they are all themed. And so if you haven't seen my playlist yet, they usually just have a few keywords of like, what is the vibe, I guess, or what is the energy of the music in the playlist? So for example, I've got one that is called Playful Curiosity. I've got one that's called Life Force Energy. I have one that's called Beautiful Universe. So they, to me, when I was looking for playlists from other people, what I was kind of missing is what's the kind of music that's in this playlist? So without just having a generic ketamine playlist title, you kind of have to cruise through the songs and listen to a few of them just to see if it's something that might resonate with you. What I wanted to do with mine was to give people a little, first of all, to give it a little cohesion so that each playlist in itself is a little bit cohesive in that it's building on this energy, these keywords that I'm using. And then it gives people, especially like as therapists, you know what your client is working on, and you know what their energy is, and that can help the therapists kind of pair playlists with what might work with a certain client. And kind of how that process works for me is I usually, when I'm starting a new playlist, I will usually start with a song or two that I know that I've really vibed with and I like, and I think this will be great in a ketamine playlist. So then I'll start a playlist and then I will listen to those first couple songs and I'll say, what do these songs feel like to me? How do they make me feel? What is the energy of the songs? And so that's how I kind of come up with the keywords. And then I build from there. So I find songs that work with that energy that I've already started.
And I have to say, oftentimes people, without even knowing what the theme was, they use the keywords to describe it that you've used. So they're really, really effective. And what you're describing, you know, really speaks to the broader sort of issue here of like the healing power of sound, right? You're asking these questions of how does this song make me feel and what's the energy, and just honoring that, like, there really is this power to sound to do something on these deeper levels. And I don't have like the language to really say, like, describe what that is. I'm curious if you can say more about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of technical words that you can get into with music and sound that describe, you know, how it influences the experience. There's like timbre, there's tone, there's like beats per minute. There is a lot of science to it. And when you get kind of in the details, but
you don't have to get technical.
Yeah, no. And I don't go kind of that realm of it, but I just kind of judge from my own experience of I'm listening to a song and music evokes something in me, in you, in people, and even just every song evokes something, whether it be very subtle or whether it be very obvious. Think of a really sad song that you know of, and instantly you've got songs that come to mind that are sad because it has evoked that emotion in you. So it's, to me, it's just listening to the song and noticing what I'm feeling in that song. And I also believe there is, when artists are creating songs, songwriters, singers, anything from a guitarist to a singer to even electronic dance music, when artists are creating songs, they are putting their energy into it. And so you do, this might be a little in the woo-woo realm, but I do believe there is energy transferred along with music and the energy of the artist who wrote it. The intention that they put into the song carries through with it, and you can hear those things and know how they make you feel. It's really hard to quantify, but mm-hmm. that's, I don't know if that answered your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's a way of literally processing emotion, using the music to evoke it and then to be with what comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I truly believe that. So, and I have some, one of my playlists is called Exploring Emotions. And on the surface, when you first listen to it, the songs sound a little, some of the songs sound sad. I hate to kind of label it with emotions, but some of them sound kind of sad or kind of melancholy. And my intention with that playlist was there might be some clients or some situations or some instances where you are needing to feel that melancholy or that sadness or that grief. And so this playlist has music that supports that. And so I think it gives people a place to have those emotions and to experience them in a healthy, safe container. I'm talking about both the therapeutic relationship, but also the safe container of the playlist and the music. And so I just feel like the music can help with those things, with our goals, whatever the goal is for the session. And the music can help with that. And that's my intention behind my playlists, is mm-hmm. to just be that second layer of assistance, that support for the experience.
Such an important point. There can be somewhat of a misconception or just an expectation of people that if it wasn't like a joyful sort of uplifting journey or experience, that it wasn't useful or effective. And so much of working with these medicines, right, it's the experiential piece. And sometimes mm-hmm. that means the direct contact with what we would describe as like less favorable or uncomfortable emotion. And yeah, to actually go there and be with it. And I think that's so wise, like using the music in that way to facilitate that.
Yeah. To layer onto that, I had a personal experience with the medicine one time, and it was with one of my playlists. I listen to my own playlist sometimes. Sometimes I don't, but that's a different story. But a song came on toward the end of the journey, but a song came on that sounded really sad in the moment. And it started bringing up some feelings of sadness, some feelings of grief. And, you know, I was crying a little bit. And my first inclination was to skip. Like I mm-hmm. almost asked my friend who was sitting with me to skip the song, because I was confronted with an uncomfortable emotion. And I sat with it for a second and I thought, okay, I'm not going to skip. Maybe this is the experience I need to have right now. Maybe I need to sit with this emotion and let it be, instead of my first reaction to skip the song, just make it stop.
Yeah.
So just to add a little personal anecdote about that conversation.
No, that's so important. Yeah, the difference between grief and sadness and melancholy and depression, right? And healing depression or whatever it is, you know, that we're healing, it's not the absence of this whole range of emotion and human experience, and it's learning to be with those. Mm-hmm. That is the healing, right? And
yes,
that's absolutely. So insightful, that, and noticing that urge to skip. That too, like noticing and not doing it, that's the medicine too. Like mm-hmm. so much of these little seemingly throwaway things that happen in the journey, you know, someone using their voice to ask for another blanket mm-hmm. or if we're talking about music, asking to change the volume. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like the fact that you asked is amazing. That's the healing. That's the work. Yeah, I think that's so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, on the skipping the song thing, it's not to say that you should never skip a song it's bringing up I think, you know,
totally
knowing the difference in when is this uncomfortable song productive and when is it distracting. And that's probably absolutely. More for the therapist to help the person work through. But
that's a good point. How is it for you to listen to other people's playlists?
It is, you know, initially I thought it would be difficult and I thought I would be picking apart, you know, and analyzing everything, but really when you're in the medicine, especially on the higher dose, I kind of forget that I am Allison that makes playlists.
Right.
So
right.
I'm just kind of experiencing someone else's playlist without that analytical mind, which is wonderful about this medicine. Now, other medicines, I don't know that I would have that same experience.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. Even listening to my own playlists, sometimes I don't even recognize the song in the moment because it just sounds so different. So sometimes I even forget that I'm listening to my playlist. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't even know who I am anymore sometimes.
Yeah. I was wondering if it might even like keep you from sort of getting out there if you were sort of thinking too much, focusing on it.
It has done that before, especially at lower doses when I do have more of a tether to identity and reality.
Yeah.
I can get a little in my head about, oh, I shouldn't have put that song there, or should I move this song here so I can get a little. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like to balance working with my own playlists as well as using other people's, just so I'm not getting down in the rabbit hole of second guessing myself.
Yeah, just like on the clock working while you're processing too, or in the journey.
Exactly.
I'm curious too, we talked before about other ways that you work with sound outside of just the playlists. And
yes.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah,
sound
absolutely.
Baths and everything.
Absolutely. So I am a sound therapist. It's not my full-time job, but it's just my part-time job that's fulfilling to me. And I do sound baths. So if you've never experienced a sound bath, it's they're getting pretty popular these days. So I'm pretty sure everyone probably at least knows what a sound bath is, but it's when a practitioner has a lot of different instruments that make noise and vibrations, the instruments create vibrations and they work with your energy field to release stuck energy and help you enter into a really deep state of meditation. It's not music. It is just sound. So I do those just for anybody who wants to do that. I work with people one-on-one with sound therapy, with tuning forks and singing bowls and whatnot. And then I also work with some local ketamine therapists here to incorporate sound healing into group ketamine therapy sessions, which that's been a really powerful and wonderful experience if you want me to go into more details there.
Yeah, I would love to, please.
Sure. So the format we've been experimenting with that has worked really well is when we have a small group and everyone gets the medicine, and during the bulk of the medicine experience, I'm just playing one of my playlists on a speaker, so everyone can hear. So, but it'd be about most of the journey is a playlist that I've already created. But then as the medicine starts to wear off and people are beginning to wake up a little bit out of that, I switch to playing the singing bowls and sometimes other sound healing instruments as well. And so that transition, just to keep it a soft transition, I very slowly fade out the music and I start singing one of the singing bowls. So it's not such an abrupt, like, you know, the record backspin noise, and then and then I'm banging a singing bowl. So it's very mindful of people and their experience, very subtle transition. But we've found, and the feedback has been from participants, that this having the singing bowls at the end of a journey really help them to ground back into their body, because you're having the more physical sensations of the vibrations from the singing bowls, especially the really big singing bowls that are really low pitch, that make up, that you can really feel. You can feel it in your body when those play near you.
Yeah.
Those have really helped people to just get back in touch with their body and ground, and just to have that those simple sounds that you can feel. It's been very beautiful. It's a really, really, we found it's a really lovely way to end a ketamine session. So I look forward to doing more of those, and I hope that format and modality, you know, catches on and becomes a thing, because it's a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I would love to experience that. I love sound baths on their own, and I can just imagine that as a transition sort of back into the room and into the body being really powerful and really grounding.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Cool. I'm wondering if you have either a personal practice that you could share or could sort of speak to how someone might work with sound, like personally in between sessions or after a session, you know, not just during and as they're coming out, but like how they can use this as part of their integration or ongoing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I personally, even though I facilitate sound baths, I have a personal practice. It's kind of my part of my self-care routine to attend a sound bath, you know, at least once every month or two. I find that just getting kind of in that practice of using sound in a way like that, an intentional way like that, is very helpful. Second of all, I personally use music as a way to kind of disconnect and decompress. So I create intentional time in my week, whether it's 30 minutes at the end of a day or at the end of every few days, where I'm just going to have an active listening session with music. And I will put on my headphone, usually before bed when I'm already kind of relaxed, but I will put on headphones. I have a good pair of headphones that sound really great. I've treated myself to that, so that would be a good thing if you like music, to get a really nice pair of headphones. But
it's a good point.
And I just sit down and I tune everything out. It's when my daughter's gone to sleep and my husband's doing his private time as well. So I just make this space for myself to just listen and be present with music. And that is really helpful for me. I don't go in with an agenda. I just maybe find a playlist. And sometimes I actually listen to my ketamine playlist just in that space. I'm not, you know, trying to meditate or anything. I'm just listening and just allowing the experience of the music to just be. And so that's been a really good active listening practice for me personally. So I'd recommend that to anyone, to just set aside that intentional time to just connect with music or sound in that way.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah. And even hearing that you make a point of going to sound baths regularly, that makes sense to me as like a frequency and a of a way of doing that regularly and exposing sort of the cells and the body to
it. I kind of see it as, you know, we take showers and whatnot to cleanse our physical body. I kind of see sound baths as my my energy shower, if you will. I'm gonna go cleanse it a little. So
And I'm just thinking now about all of the sound that we take in most of our waking life that is not healing, and the need to add in something that's like really nourishing in that way.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you do live in like a city or somewhere where there is a lot of noise pollution, I think is the proper term, but you probably even more so do need to create that space where you can have nourishing sound. That is so important. I live right on the backside of a busy highway. So I'm constantly just have this white, I guess it's even like white noise. It's just the rushing of cars back and forth, but it's really hard. You can even hear it just sitting in the house. So that intentional practice of putting my headphones on and having that nourishing sound I realized has become even more important for me because I am exposed to noise pollution frequently. So yeah, that's such a good point. In fact, I just saw a headline of an article that came out that said it was about noise pollution, but it was concerning. I don't even remember what the article was, but it's interesting that you brought that up again.
And still, you know, the way that you're describing it of like intentionally creating the act of listening, you know, because I put on my noise canceling headphones most of the time when I'm out in the city, but that's almost like just sort of a numbing or like cancellation of the noise pollution versus like really entering into this space, this intentional space with it. Is really different and not something that I've really given
thought and to. A lot of people listen to music, you know, while you're driving in the car,
right.
Or some people listen to music while they're working, but it's often just you're playing it while you're doing other things. But I don't think enough of us listen to it, and that is the focus of the activity, is listening to the music. So it's not, it becomes a forefront thing. It's what your focus is. It's been really helpful for me and just my overall health, wellness, and healing journey personally.
And there are so many different ways sort of to engage with that too. I'm thinking about, you know, I was a classical musician growing up and I played in orchestras and I still love to go to the orchestra and the feeling in the room, the vibration of the sound is so different than any other way of experiencing that music. And I'm thinking about that now as something I maybe need to like seek out more regularly and intentionally, just knowing how valuable that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else is sort of on the horizon for you or on your mind, or do you have a vision for sort of the future of sound in the psychedelic space?
I do. You know, I would love to see, I will obviously continue to make playlists because it's personally fulfilling to me and I love doing it. And I don't think playlists are going away anytime soon, but I would also love to see more, you know, as we progress in this whole psychedelic renaissance. I know that's a little bit of an overused term these days, but for lack of a better term, I would love to see sound and music become more important. I know we're already talking about it and they are important, but even just continuing that conversation and also seeing, I'd love to see more evolutions of that. So more live, you know, is there a space for a live DJ in psychedelic work? Probably. Mm-hmm. And I hope so. Is there more live music? I know some people are already doing that. So I just continuing to see it evolve. I'd love to be a part of it. And also, like we were talking about, using singing bowls in combination with playlists in therapy. I think there's definitely a space for that. So yeah, I just look forward to how this relationship between psychedelics and sound and music continues to evolve, because I really think the sky is the limit there.
Yeah. And all of those are, I feel like, are ways of taking sort of the two-dimensional sort of playlist and making it like three-dimensional, adding in, or even multi-dimensional, adding in the vibrational element, the relational piece of another person in the space, and all of that has sort of a cascading effect, or could have a
compounding effect on the journey. Yeah, and even with a live DJ, it's not just that, I mean, yes, there is the person element, but even just, at least for me, when I DJ, sometimes I will have a playlist in mind, but a lot of times I'm responding to the energy in the room and I'm on the fly, like picking the next song that I'm going to play. So it even, you know, playlists are, you get what you get, and it's, you can, while you can skip songs, you can't really rearrange and you can't change the flow of it. You're kind of tied to that playlist, but introducing live DJs to the work gives you another element of being able to respond on the fly. So if the energy in the room shifts and you're feeling that something, you need to bring in something else, you can respond to that. So that's, that kind of stuff is really exciting to me as we progress with this work. But
that's so cool. No, it's so true. I mean, I think about like an ayahuasca ceremony or, you know, something where there is live music and it is this responsive, interactive experience, and it completely shifts the whole energy of the space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so, so powerful. So powerful.
So cool. How can people get in touch with you, like support your work?
Yeah. So my website is www.sunoflife.com, and that's S-U-N, like the sun. That's kind of my little moniker that I go by. You can find, there will be a landing page where you can find, I'll have all of my playlists listed out. And of course, I'll link to my Spotify profile. You can always just follow my Spotify profile. I work on new playlists pretty frequently. In fact, I've got another one that I'm probably going to wrap up in the next few weeks called, Inviting Bliss. So that's a good one that's going to come out in the next few weeks. So you can go to my website. You can also go to my Instagram, Son of Life Sound. And I'm sure you'll link it in the show notes. I can send you all the links. But yeah, I just love it if you want to follow my playlist, check them out, share them with anybody. That would be awesome.
Amazing. Thank you. Yeah, I will link to all of that. And just want to sort of open space if there was anything else that was like on your mind around this. We sort of touched on a lot, but
this was a really great conversation. I really thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about this. It's something I'm really passionate about, and, you know, just, I honor my little brother and thank him for his contribution to this collective journey, because I wouldn't be here talking to you if it hadn't have played out like that. But I honor him in all of the work that I do. And I thank you so much for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you. And that's so true. And when you talk about that energetic transmission from someone creating music or curating it in some way and sharing it, that's really sort of breathtaking to think about that being transferred to so many people. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So that's the show. Make sure to check out the show notes for all the links and where you can find Allison's playlists, and check out her website and see all the other interesting things she has coming up. And if you're liking the show and could take a minute to hit the like button or subscribe button or leave a positive review or rating, that would be really great. In any case, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back soon with another really exciting episode that I look forward to sharing with you. Take care.